Media Network.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Over again.
So, as we begin, before Johnny introduces the show, the first thing I have to do is thank Mr. Robert J. Defendi, author extraordinaire, also a.k.a. Bob Defendi, funny writer extraordinaire,
funny writer, yeah,
for watching out for my
hilarious
kids at the con this weekend. I have been, as most of you know, in some pretty shit health. And at one point on Friday, I abandoned my children by pointing out locations of people that they knew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, you're at the south end, Bob's over there. You're over in the middle, that's where the nerd store is. If you're on the north end, go into the press room if you guys need anything. Otherwise, I'm at the bottom level of the parking garage. I will be in the car. And I went down at, I guess, about 2:30 or so.
Yes.
And leaned the seat back and then woke up at about 4:45, feeling worse, because that's what happens when you sleep in a fucking car. And grabbed the kids, ran over. Bob took custody of my Kyla and brought her home, which was awesome, and fed her, apparently. Way to go. You know, that's what you feed a stray, they keep coming around.
Yeah. Technically, Comic-Con fed her.
Yes. She was like, yes, with vouchers. I'm like, good, don't take money from people. And
well, that's what it was. She said something about mooching, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make sure she's mooching. She's mooching off somebody I know is not a sexual predator. There are four of us within sight that I know, and two of us have already eaten. That makes me it.
Yeah, she has this thing she does, and it's adorable, but she will wander around to people that she knows and just take away their food. And for the most part, everybody is just delighted to let her do it. And apparently when Brenda was a kid, she did it too. And it just works really well. It's like, hi, I'm stealing your food. And they're like, okie dokie. You know, and then yesterday, my youngest was at the con with his buddy and knew right away that if there were any problems or difficulties to come and see you.
I made him repeat it back to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I got issues with letting my kids walk to the fucking corner gas station. I am not comfortable with it. And the fact that there's at least one person, I mean, there were other people there, but you're the name that I trusted. And that was that I could abandon my children in a convention center with 40,000 people. Mm-hmm. And know they're going to be okay because Bob's there.
Well,
that's huge.
And I was
for me
also centrally located with the support thing. Like, if I wasn't there, there were three responsible adults, one of them a school teacher, who were there to take over if I had stepped away for a panel or something. You know what I mean? If one of them ran up, James Wymore, you know, he handles kids in distress professionally, you know, because he's a physics and chemistry teacher at a high school. You know what I mean?
Physics and chemistry always leaves you in distress.
Yeah. Dealing with children under high stress. He teaches physics. That's what he does every day.
Yeah, but children under high stress don't tend to obey the laws of physics.
That's true.
And now, that's more true when they're still in diapers, but still, regardless. Anyway, thanks, buddy.
Oh, no problem.
I appreciate
it. Did she play my practical joke on you when she got back on Friday?
What was it?
we're pulling in, and I had told Dan to remind me to get gas on the way home. And she's telling me how to get to your house because I never get to it from that direction. So I don't know what any of the streets look like from the direction we were coming. And so she's like, oh, pull into the Shell here. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Because she wasn't the person I told her to remind me. And so I'm getting gas. I get back in. I'm sitting there for a second. I'm like, hey, Kyla, when you get inside, go up and tell your dad that you're my new assistant.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Because last week, I told your dad I needed a new assistant, and he made all sorts of inappropriate jokes about my new assistant.
She
it'd
did
be really funny.
She did, and it made me laugh.
Next one was his daughter.
Yeah, I laughed. But then she reminded me of the Uncle Bob buying me cigarette joke.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but years and years ago, Bob was like, 18. I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
So neither of us were old enough to buy smokes in Utah. But Bobby had just done a play up at the Valley Center.
Yeah.
And he was playing an older fellow. So we still had the gray in his hair. And we were going from there down to his place in Salem, of all goddamn places. And I tried to buy cigarettes, and I got carded. And the guy's like, I can't sell it to you. You're not old enough. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just have my Uncle Bob buy them. I didn't tell Bob this was going to happen. This was just off the top of my head. And Bob's all, you bet. And the guy looks at him and is like, okay. And I'm not going to say I'm not going to say that we used that later to buy wine coolers at other times, because that would be against the law. But, you know.
Bob always looked, he looked 30 from the day he was 14, I think.
Yeah.
And, he's kind of stayed in that zone of looking in his, somewhere in his vague 30s to 40s.
I would say, yeah, the only real difference is you look a little tired now, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only difference. I got a little bit of gray, and you know, I cover it up, but I still haven't really developed lines. I'm actually pretty happy with how I aged. I aged to a certain age, and then I just kind of stopped.
And the fact that you reached that at 14 was amazing. Was astounding.
Yeah, that's the weird part. I hit it at 14. That is the weird part. I hit it at 14. Yeah.
Also, I understand it. Kyla says you may have learned how to sing in the intervening years.
Oh, yeah. I've had many years of practice. At the very least, it's not as bad.
Yeah, Bob can sing show tunes. She says, Bob can sing show tunes. I'm like, the hell he can. No, really, he can. No. I've been in the car. Well, how long ago was that? Okay, that was a long time ago. She's like, well, practice makes perfect, Dad. And I'm like, perfect.
It makes permanent is what it makes.
Nah.
All right. Hey, welcome.
Makes it mediocre.
Mediocre, yeah. Welcome to the 250th episode of the world's greatest comic book podcast.
What's that?
I am your host with the most, the Radio Actor Professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter.
What the hell was that noise? What did they just do?
There was kind of a woo.
Aroo! But,
yeah.
Aroo! I howled and then said Werewolves of London.
Fair enough. Joining me today on the show are my stalwart sidekicks. Staring down at us from on high and is about to spew us with hot sticky lava, our very own mountain of love, Mr. Robert J. Defendi.
I have had all of the drugs.
Yay! Rising out of the foam of Puget Sound and dancing into our hearts, the ever lovely Seattle siren, Ms. Holly Braithwaite.
Hello. I did that with jazz hands.
Jazz hands, because that plays on audio. And beaming down to us from the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Captain James Tiberius Batman, Mr. Jeff Bell.
Oh my. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
Howdy. So
we did the con.
We did. And it's, so this episode's going to be a little weird. We're going to jump all over the place. I think I'm just telling that to Holly and Bob,
because
Everybody else just has to sit there and listen. There's nothing they can do about it.
That's right.
But the first thing I want to do before we do anything else,
mm-hmm.
I want to throw a shout out, as the kids say, to our greatest fan, our biggest fan, the world's greatest comic book podcast fan.
Podcast fan, yeah.
Rhiannon.
Yay, Rhiannon.
Who tracked us down, was dressed like Deanna Troi.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, she's wearing a Star Trek pin. And then I noticed the neckline of
Deanna Troi.
Hey! Yeah. That was awesome. So we met her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when I said I climbed out of the car.
Yes.
To go and fetch my kids. And there she was. And I was very, very happy that the timing had worked out, because I've wanted to meet her for quite some time.
So she was trying to find me. And I'd kind of fallen off my tweeting, my live tweeting. And she sent me a personal tweet and said, hey, if you're not tweeting, I can't stalk you. I said, oh, sorry. So I started tweeting where I was. And we got over to Bob's booth. And we just sort of hung there. Angus was about ready to collapse. He'd pretty much had it for the day. And he's almost 18, so you'd think he had a lot more energy.
Well, he's just too busy, you know, being a badass. It wears you out.
Yeah, wears you out being a badass. And true story.
I'm a teen.
Anyway, we stood there for a while. I kept tweeting, you know, where we were, the whole... I noticed Bob was leaning
still
against
here.
Wonder Woman's boobs.
Still here.
And
still here.
Finally, she pops. She comes over, and she was like, "So where's Jeff?" I said, "Well, he went down to the car to deal with a migraine," and she understood that completely, being a fan of the show and listening to the show. Then she didn't think she was going to get to meet Jeff, but he happened to pop back and come by Bob's booth right then, and that was perfect.
Oh, did she get to meet him?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We took a picture with her, Bob. There's photographic evidence of all three of us being with her at the same time.
Oh, my God. No, that's right. Okay, sorry.
You are on all the drugs.
I am on all the drugs.
You're doing all the drugs.
You're doing all of Jeff's greatest hits today. Evidence,
it's my favorite picture of the con.
Yeah, it became my profile photo because I loved it so much.
I love my expression. I love your expression. I love JM's I don't give a shit expression.
I was given a huge shit. Right there.
You were giving a huge shit, but you didn't look like it, which is why you're so cool.
That's the resting bitch face.
That's part of the mystique of me.
Yeah.
Hey, Rhiannon, however, if you have that photo unedited, I'd love a copy.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you did. Make no mistake. Yep. It's just a little bit too, yay, we're having a six-year-old birthday party. And while I understand that that's pretty much what hanging out with us is like.
That's exactly what hanging out with us is like.
Yeah, I do want to throw that up on the website. So, because that was a milestone meet. Because she's been a pal for a while. She has turned into, it used to be Thom, but who fuck knows where he is.
I don't have any idea. We're going to cash in for another Canadian. There are like three others, right? Other Canadians, aren't there? Maybe four?
There's a few of them up there. I think this fellow Trudeau.
Justin guy?
Yeah, he wants on, but I think maybe we'll ask to see if his wife can come on.
Yeah.
Have you seen his wife? She is so ridiculously hot.
We need another girl voice. So yeah, having his wife on would be better.
Justin Trudeau's wife is hot. You have a boyfriend.
Wait, did you say you needed another girl? She has a Trudeau. You said you needed another female voice? No. Just you got me.
Well, then start doing accents, what? Missy. it's okay, time for character voices.
I don't got need me, eh? For you, Holly.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Hey, can I just say that was Johnny making words out of the face hole and not me? He said that by himself. I just want another Canadian. Girl, boy, doesn't matter. You know?
Let's go down to the Tim Horton and get a poutine, eh?
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. That was the hottest thing ever.
Oh, my God, I want poutine so bad right now. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I love potatoes. Actually, I have corned beef in the crock pot. I got to remember when you go to throw that into the to throw in some cabbage.
Ah,
yeah. All right. So what I'm gonna do is take control of the ship of movement so that we can get everything in. So real quick, we're gonna jump to a segment that Johnny and I recorded beginning of the con. At the press conference while we were waiting. And I warn you beforehand, there is a fair amount of marginally middle-aged white guy whining. I realize that we are not starving Ethiopians or warlord-beset folks in Darfur.
True story.
It was early in the morning, and we were feeling a little picked on. So we're going to jump to that real quick, and then when we get back, I'll let John pick a segment. Sound good?
Last time, you remember, Bullwinkle tried out his ultra-sultry look on a couple of young ladies who promptly fainted dead away.
Record standby.
Okay, now it's recording. Hello.
Hey.
So, since there's nothing going on, I figured we'd interview ourselves.
Welcome to the FanX press conference.
So how does it feel to be the handsomest person in the press room? Angus?
Pretty good.
Dick.
These are important questions our listeners want to know.
It's time for you to push that over to the old folks. Makes feel good for 5 minutes.
That's right. But no, he doesn't do that. Naturally not.
Okay, so... Okay, we're here. And we're in, you know, and I realized that we didn't have to pay to get here.
Right.
Even though we're going to cover it. But we have had, in the past, hiccups, if you will. Complaint. Whining.
We've whined. We have whined, yes.
A couple times, there's been no chairs
and
in the press room.
And many times, I'd say it's kind of a legitimate whine.
Sure.
In the fact that... Okay, it's a lot like, you know what, I've got all this, but we could do better.
Right.
And these are places that we could definitely do better.
I remember first FanX.
Yeah.
We were in his press. We had the bigger room. There were plenty of tables and chairs. The power outlets were actually turned on.
Yes.
And there was a water station.
Yes.
And that right there, that's all I need. Now, I've been to a couple of other cons in my life as press, and you know, you're fed, you're treated well because they give a shit. But this being the only game in town now that the outdoor retailers are leaving,
yeah,
I have a feeling that it's just going to get, they don't give a shit.
Well, it's very interesting how they suddenly had to get press here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've pooped on them for so many years that...
Oh, that's what we're hearing. And there's a lot of people that are here as press that have been treated kind of shitty over the years.
Yeah.
And are pissed that they got assigned to be here because they're just like, it's nothing but a headache. They're just, it's mean. So we're at what's going to be the opening press conference. When we got to the press line at 8 a.m., precisely, which is what the email told us to do.
Yes.
It was a 36-minute wait until they had somebody to actually process the line. That's fine. Shit happens. I get it. I'm not upset.
It occurs.
We made some jokes. We were funny. People laughed. We entertained. But I'm afraid to ask where the press room is.
Well, we won't know until we go check it out after this.
Right.
And in the years past, the press room's been okay. Even when we were not here as press, we were here as VIPs.
Yeah.
Or not VIPs, but special guests.
We've been both.
Yes. But this, we'll have to find out what it's like this year.
Yeah. Hope there's chairs. Look, I'm never going to get over that. It's not only that. It's like we, as panelists, we've twice been given a rest room to chill.
With no chairs.
No chairs, no tables.
Yeah.
And the diaper changing station next door to us, though, had them.
Had chairs, yes.
Which it has to.
Yeah.
But still. That one I watched. I watched the TV networks walk out. I watched three radio guys walk out. The two guys from the two papers left. They're just like, no, this is insane.
Yeah.
So out they went. But here we are. Nothing's happened yet, and I'm already pessimistic. And I'll tell you why.
I can't imagine
because
why.
You know what we could be doing right now? We can be at my house watching Iron Fist on a big couch.
Hashtag my idiot idea.
It's all right. I understand. I was pretty bitchy about it at the dinner table the other night. And that's how my kids remembered that it was happening and wanted to go. So my own fault.
That is your fault there.
No, it is. All right. So now we know the gear works.
Yes.
Why don't we push the pause and then wait for something to happen?
We hope you'll really like.
All right.
Wasn't that awful?
That was terrible.
Sorry.
But, you know, the press conference did yield us some great interviews.
It really did.
I got to meet Marv Wolfman and interview him.
Oh, we're Mythbuster scripting this.
I loved that.
The scripted parts.
Scripted parts.
You know, when the physics does the physics with the physical part of the physics. Physics. Science.
Science.
Shut up. Shut up, Adam.
Also, we met Adrian Paul. And then Sam Jones.
I love Adrian Paul.
And Sam Jones was a lot of fun because we had the Flash Gordon vibe going on.
And we're gonna flip to those in a minute. And then I want to do those two first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to do the first one last.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's break away to those. We've got Johnny talking to Adrian Paul. We've got me talking to the insanely still good looking Sam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He really does. He looks like Dolph Lundgren's detox brother. Right?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in what I saw, my favorite fangasm of the entire thing. We're going to get to that one last with a second introduction. So hang on for that. Here it is.
Last time, you remember, Bullwinkle tried out his ultra-sultry look on a couple of young ladies who promptly fainted dead away.
We are?
He's doing the interview, but I wanted to shake hands.
Are we on?
Morning.
Okay.
I like your nails.
We are with Adrian Paul, the Highlander.
Good morning.
And I got to tell you, you guys can't see this because we're an audio podcast. He is really immortal. He has not changed a bit since he played Duncan MacLeod.
Oh, yeah.
You have not changed. You look the same, except your hair's short.
Yeah. Actually, that happened at the last season of the show anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody sees me as long hair, but in actual fact, I cut it during the show as well.
It was always the ponytail, which I had a ponytail back then, too. So I was simpatico with you. And when you cut your hair, I was like, you know what? I was thinking about cutting my hair. Maybe I should do that now. Of course, now it's all but gone. So, you know.
That happens.
You know, you got to.
happens.
Yeah, here you are looking so good. And just
it's called water.
A lot of water. A lot of water.
I drink a lot of water, man. So.
Now, you've got something really cool going on at the con circuit now.
You're talking about the sword experience?
The sword experience.
Yeah, it's...
Tell us about that.
Sword experiences, I came up with it because somebody kept saying, well, why don't you do a sword video? And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And then with all the advent of all the different... sword shows out there now, I'm thinking, well, that's kind of fun. I like coming to an event and taking part in it, in a sense. And so I came up with this idea of creating a place where people can learn to play with the sword, but then to take it to another level where you pick a fight that you've seen in the movies, and then we put you on a set, we photograph you, and then we film you doing it as if you're on a movie set.
That is, it's tremendous. When I was younger, I took a course from Academy of the Sword.
Uh-huh.
It was about as long as your course is today.
Right.
They taught fencing, you're teaching more of a kendo style.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I use wooden bokens because
yes.
they're safer for people, and my liability doesn't allow me to do anything else.
Yeah, right.
they're easier to transport as well.
Much easier.
But the thing is, all swords are pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really only have 6 to 8 cuts or parries that are across the entire gamut of whether you're using a broadsword, a katana, a foil, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You really have lines of attack that are very similar. So, you know, it's just the weight of the weapon, the way you use it, that is different.
Exactly, except for the Jian fencing that I have done in Tai Chi Chuan. You are right, it's all pretty much the same kind of swords, catches,
very, very
and parries.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of sword fighting, I always thought this was funny, and I'd love to hear the story behind it. When you did the first episode with Richard Mall as the villain,
yeah.
the trope was he wore a mask so that he wouldn't have to get his precious face cut. And I thought, okay, so that's the trope so that they can have a stuntman do the sword fighting. But then when you watch the episode, it's pretty clear you guys did it about a quarter of a speed for him and then sped up the film. Was the set man just not tall enough to be Richard Mall?
No, you know, there are always tricks. Whenever you're starting a show like that, you know, you've got to figure out different logistics. You know, Richard was a very big guy with a big sword, and, you know, it was slower for him to actually be... So we had to make sure there was safety involved as well, because, you know, Christoph said to me, you know, Richard's a big guy, and he's hitting really hard, and I've been cut already before in other shows, which I hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, you hadn't been that. You hadn't done that yet.
Well, after the show, I got cut so many times. It was ridiculous. Yeah. So, but you do have to keep safety. So sometimes you slow it down and they speed the film up. But after that, we never really did.
Tremendous.
Greatest comic book podcast.
That's us.
Right. That's
what's
us.
It called? Hold 322? No.
Yeah, the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Oh, that's really good. Because most of them have the word geek in it. Have you noticed that?
I do.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
We're better.
It's a nice collection you have there. Tell
he
me your
does
name.
Okay. I'm Jeff.
Okay. Jeff and...
This is Angus. That's John.
Okay, hi. Jeff, Angus, and... John, sounds like a menu. Go ahead.
It should be. Actually, this is a sideways question because I know that you talk about Flash Gordon all the time, and probably with the younger kids you talk about Ted. But you, two of my biggest heroes as a kid were you and Richard Dean Anderson.
Cool.
So MacGyver and Flash Gordon. Yeah. So you were on SG-1.
Correct.
How was it working with those guys? How was Vancouver? And did you get to touch Amanda Tapping?
Well, yeah, I gave her a big hug.
Awesome.
What do you? My gosh, we filmed that 17 years ago.
I know.
I played the bounty hunter in Dead Man's Switch. Loved it. Great crew. Of course, Vancouver, you know, is one of the best cities in the world as far as I'm concerned.
I remember when you came on, I made an unmanly noise and screamed, "Holy shit, it's Flash Gordon!" And it was. It was two worlds coming together.
I loved playing a character like that.
It was good. I wish you'd been on more often.
Eris Bach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish you were on more often. It should have been more. That was great. It was a good one.
Well, that's the nature of the business. You just don't know.
I know.
So we got to move on.
I got you. I absolutely do. All right. Anything new coming up?
Yeah. We did three films last year. Three independents called Accelerator. I played a hitman, which I love.
Fun?
Yeah. Actually, I should say I took care of people, but in the wrong way. It wasn't. Then I did.
Well, maybe they had it coming.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
Then I did a comedy spoof called Into the Fist, The Golden Fleece, a parody of the old 1980s Kung Fu movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then another psychological thriller called Head Games.
Awesome.
Yeah. I love it, man.
Are these any of these theater? Are they?
Well, I don't know. They're independent, you know, so they should be out late this year.
Okay, you know? Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I'm delighted.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
So this last one is actually my first interview that morning was Marv Wolfman. Yeah. Well, I'm a huge fan of Marv Wolfman. He was the writer for New Teen Titans back in 1980. He later went on to, you know, he created Deathstroke, Raven, Cyborg, Starfire.
Cyborg?
Yeah.
I noticed that you waited till there was no way for me to talk to him before you brought that up.
Yep.
Could you have made Cyborg not suck, Marv?
Cyborg didn't suck when Marv wrote him.
Sorry.
Cyborg was a very interesting character when Marv wrote him.
All right.
Unfortunately, he stuck around too long. We got to interview him, and then later, of course, I stalked him at his booth and at both of his panels. So let's cue up the fanboy.
Well, I gotta tell a thing first.
I also want to say this was probably my roughest of the interviews because Marv was a little bit cantankerous like most of these old...
Well, you walked up to him, who are you and what do you want?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Sure you are. I mean, it was just like...
I know. Like,
I'm a whore because I got rent to pay
kind of attitude. Now, later in the con, this is my favorite part, honestly, because it's me being funny. But so we're walking down the back aisle trying to find Bobby D. And we come across the insanely weird place that the con stuck Marv. And considering that he showed up for their press conference, he should have had a better booth.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, John stops dead, stares for like 10 seconds. And this lady holding a little sign that says back of the line says, do you guys want to be in line? There's no line.
There's no line. Yeah, no
but
line.
She's there. She's got a job to do. And by God, she's going to do it. And so John just ignores her altogether and steps up to Marv and starts to talk. I step over to her and start making jokes because I don't know who this dude is really at that point other than you said he wrote Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, yeah.
So you are, I can't hear what you're saying, but mm-hmm. you're holding up the different posters.
Yes.
Of stuff that he's worked on. And so I break into Australian documentary guy.
As we can see here, the geek in his natural element first shows his dominance to the partner. By urinating all over everything to prove that he's been there.
This girl just starts laughing her ass off.
Next, he throttles his throat to make the noises to show that he's ready to breed.
And she's just like losing her shit. And this whole time, John is all animated. He's doing his Johnny hands and this and that. And I can't hear what he's saying. And then he's got little punk rock badass Angus next to him who's just standing there, not even moving. You know?
You'll notice the beta wolf stands by to render assistance in case it is needed. But in this case, he does not seem to be south.
And then they finish up and we start walking and the lady's just like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, yay. So anyway, keep in mind that any roughness or nervousness in Johnny's voice was he was meeting a huge and monumental personage from his life.
One of my heroes. Yes. Yeah.
There's something different about you. Did you change your hair?
He's got class.
Wolf person.
Wolf. He's got hair all over his body.
Wolves aren't supposed to be shy.
Well, that would be a little insane to talk to yourself. You just hold it for him.
Super excited. Also, Kari Payton just got here in the house, and they'll be coming right out here tonight as well. Kari Payton is here.
Woo! All right, we're standing here with Marv Wolfman, the creator of Nightwing, for one thing.
Among them.
Among others. Longtime comic book writer for both Marvel and DC. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Been hoping you get back here sometime. So what do you got going on, Marv? What are you working on now?
I just finished a Raven miniseries and a Bullseye one-shot, and I'm doing some work I'm not allowed to talk about.
Awesome. So, yeah, my son just read the Raven miniseries. He was very excited for it. And I was very excited to have him read it because I knew you wrote it.
Yeah.
Having created the character, I thought that'll be, you got to read this one. If anybody's going to write Raven, it's going to be Marv.
And it's a little bit different from what most people expected.
And was it a little different because they did kind of retcon her a little bit? They changed her up. They had her kind of reborn.
Raven wasn't part of the Rebirth series.
Right.
That's not on there. No, that was my decision. I wanted to handle her in a different way. I wanted to bring her up to date to the whatever year this is, 2017.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to make sure that she was more relevant than just being a character from the 1980s. So I changed it. I played around with it and came up with that approach.
So one of the things that you're famous for doing is fixing the DC Universe back in the 80s, which they have since broken again.
Oh, I don't think they've broken it. They've taken it in a direction maybe you don't like, but other people do. Yes, I did Crisis, and I'm very happy with it.
So Marv also wrote Crisis on Infinite Earths, probably one of the best long-running series or 12-issue maxi series to come out in the 80s.
Yeah.
What was the fan response like back then? Was it? I know I felt very positive about it. I loved the idea, but did you have a lot of negative feedback as well from it?
No, I'd say it was 98% extremely positive, which I was delighted by because we took a lot of risks. If there was any problems, it's like, why did you kill Supergirl or why did you kill Flash?
Right.
But other than that, they really liked the story. And the fact that 30 years later, it's still being reprinted regularly indicates that it was popular.
Right.
You don't know if it's going to be like that when you do it. You just try your best.
Exactly. I just had a question and it jumped out of my head because you were saying such great things.
You gotta write them down.
The Flash.
Yeah.
One of the things you said after you wrote it for years was, I wrote in a way for somebody to save the Flash.
I got tired of explaining it. It's on my website under questions and answers. That's MarvWolfman.com.
Yeah, I've read that one. The question is, Geoff Johns, when he brought him back, did he use your trick? Or did he come up with his own thing?
I have to be honest. After I've done something, I don't read the things that follow.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's fair to them because I have my opinion of the way things should go. And I didn't ask anyone else's permission, so I make it very clear that I don't check what other people do.
Awesome.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He goes urinating on everything to prove that he's ready to mate. Right there. This is where he presents his anus. For out in the wild, there's no such thing as gender identity.
That's right. The fact that I had no idea you were doing that is even funnier to me.
Oh, yeah. I could not hear you. You couldn't. It was really loud right there.
I couldn't. And I thought you were hearing me. Because when I'd kind of glance over at you guys, and you were both kind of like, you know,
smiling and laughing.
Smiling and laughing, yeah.
It was because I was dehumanizing everyone
in the
room. I was
like, good, I'm doing really good. I'm really funny.
I'm sure that you were. One of my favorite things that happened, and I'm not going to go too deep into it because, for all of the problems that Johnny and I feel that we've had with the some of the Comic-Con guys that don't love us very much, we are terribly fond of Dan Farr.
Yes.
You know, he's a really nice guy. We really like him. Him and Brian put this thing together. They've always been very, very polite and kind to us. So we're standing in line to do an interview with
Adrian Paul.
With Adrian Paul. And in the past, what we've had issue with is that we'll be in line to do an interview at the press conferences, and all of a sudden, the swarm of teenaged Comic-Con media kids will jump in line before, it seems, just us.
Mm-hmm.
But and we'll hog the time until the person that we want to interview has to go, which, for all of the headache, did result in me being able to talk to Alian Huffman.
Yes.
So, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And, oh, my God.
But we couldn't get Jess Harnell and... Oh, who did Yakko's voice, Holly? We couldn't get...
Oh, Tress McGill?
Something like that. But they were the ones that the Comic-Con kids were over-interviewing.
Yeah.
And so, and we wanted, and then a couple of other kids were in line, and they actually got a bumper from them doing Yakko and Wakko, and I wanted to get the same bumper, and but they
we were in line for them for so long.
We were
in
line for them for so long they had to leave. Yeah.
Everybody had to leave.
Yeah.
But Alyona Huffman.
Yeah, you got to do Alyona Huffman the whole time that they were.
No, I got to talk to her.
Yes.
And we discovered something very important at that particular interview, and that is that yoga pants were designed for her to wear.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was. I mean, it was just, look, it's. I like yoga pants. Yoga pants look great. I like them on the ladies. I like the yoga pants, the tights, whatever. There was just something particularly spectacular about those particular ones and the weave that were in them with the vertical lines. Yep. I'm surprised I was able to talk to her at all and not just sit there and go, pretty lady. But that's all. So we could do a break or we could do news.
Let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll do our news.
So there was the Lehigh side of the tracks. That's where all the hayseeds went to high school. And then there was the American Fark, and that was where the cavemen went to high school. And then we moved from American Fork to the next town over into Pleasant Grove. That was where the Vikings went to high school. We called it Pregnant Girls High School because the pregnancy rate was very high. None of them were mine.
But there was always this kind of background all the time. You just couldn't help it.
Is that not Land of the Lost?
It's new, it's old, and it's certainly angry. JM and Tom roast everything. Starting this Friday on the Defenestrate Media Network, the Coffee Cast Podcast, and theleftshow.com. Now, get off my lawn.
Hi guys, my name is Gigi Edgley and I play Chiana on Farscape and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast. Enjoy.
I've got in
I'm
the other
killing
room.
It.
Yeah, it's look. He was smiling at you.
He was
much happier to see you out on the floor.
He was very happy to hear.
And you didn't buy anything, so he was better than what's his name, Neil.
Yeah, I went back and did buy that one.
Friend of Autism.
Yeah, I went back and bought that Crisis on Infinite Earths poster.
Of course you did.
Not the Crisis, the New Teen Titans Annual number 2 poster to have him sign, but yeah. Yeah.
Neil.
Neil Adams, my
Neil
best
Adams.
Friend
yeah.
and autism awareness activist. Yeah.
That dude was just like, every time he saw him, it was brand new. He was living it was like his short-term memory was gone.
Yeah, it was like Drew Barrymore's character in that 51st Dates movie.
You were trying to be his Adam Sandler.
I really was.
And instead you were his Rob Schneider.
I was.
You can do it! Okay, that's
enough. Don't vaccinate your kids. Let's dive into the news.
Let's.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Mm-hmm. All right, look. Here's the thing. I have been in my life from time to time what some people would qualify as a social justice warrior.
Yes.
I believe in social justice. It is a cause that is near and dear to my heart. You know, I believe in equality. I have ruined friendships over dipshit behaviors and beliefs. I have written off most of my family over the years.
Right.
Because I believe that the world should be a better place and have a level playing field for everyone.
Agreed.
But from time to time, there are people that would be considered on my side that open their face holes and just bleh, all over the place. We are about to address that one of those controversies now.
Yes.
And at the end of it, I'm going to say things that my lefty friends, some of them, are going to take a small amount of offense at. All I can say is, I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman's lack of armpit hair is causing a huge controversy among fans. Now, with the caveat that Bob usually pops in right now and goes, is it really huge? It probably isn't.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Or it's a big person. Maybe that's what they're saying. But the newest trailer for Wonder Woman just came out last weekend. It was met with mostly positive reception, from myself included.
Yes.
And I love the bit at the end. Don't go out there with the sword. It doesn't match the outfit. No, it doesn't match the outfit. I'm like, I love Captain Kirk so much. But now there's another controversy surrounding the titular hero. Nice pick, comic book movie.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. Fans of the iconic Amazon princess have noticed a particularly strange movement or moment in the trailer, which is at the 141 mark. Gal Gadot raises her arms, and it appears she doesn't have any armpit hair at all. And this is making some fans upset. Okay. Is this seriously still happening in 2017? Says Slate fucking magazine. Refinery 29 called for a time when Wonder Woman could prove that women, even those who are superheroes, don't have to cater to beauty standards that look, you wankerific shitwits. 98% of the world is all okay with shaved armpits. In fact, they kind of like it. Much like a fella who likes and respects a woman who is intimate with him will from time to time trim.
Yes.
Yeah. Because if you don't, you are a selfish dipshit and do not deserve.
The majority of athletes will basically shave every bit of body hair that could possibly be exposed.
Pole vaulters.
Because they want to resist. You know, it creates even a little bit of wind drag that could cause them a tenth of a second, which is sometimes all the difference in a race. And so the fact that she comes from a warrior culture, they're like, oh, she should be covered in body hair. I'm like, okay, you got two problems. Number one, a warrior culture may have a whole grooming regimen that they do. And number two,
you're being stupid.
Okay, that's okay. Then number three, anybody know Wonder Woman's origin off the top of their head?
Lesbos. No, she was a semi-submissive and a semi-dom.
Okay, that was the earliest one.
Okay.
But when they kind of created her, basically Hippolyta did not birth Diana. She sculpted her out of clay.
She's a hot mud pie.
And then Zeus brought her to life. If she indeed is in this film, not of human birth or Amazonian birth,
which
but comes
that,
from clay.
That last trailer sort of hinted at.
Yeah. If she was made from clay, then it's very possible, because that is the reason she's immortal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She may never, ever sprout a bit of body hair. So.
Okay. See, and I'm just about to say.
Did you guys see did you guys watch the DVD extras on Batman v Supes?
Mm-mm.
No. Are they available?
No. Oh, well, I own the DVD, so the Blu-ray. So I watched them on the Blu-ray. Oh, actually, I own the iTunes version, the iTunes extras. Mm-hmm. So I watched them on the iTunes extras. But the the costume designer was talking about her costume, and she said, "Yeah, I know that a warrior probably wouldn't be wearing high heels, but my female superhero should be able to kick ass and look sexy at the same time. So God damn it, I'm putting her in high heels."
I'm like, Wonder Woman would look weird in flats.
They actually they made a comment about that once.
My mother kind of cheered her a little bit when she said it. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I think so.
On the other hand, I think Gal Gadot would look ridiculously and overwhelmingly hot in combat boots. Just saying. Like,
oh, yeah,
almost
would.
Every woman in the world.
Now Holly probably could either contest this or go along with this. In the Justice League animated series,
she could, but she seems to have left.
There's a moment between Batman and Wonder Woman where they go undercover, and she's there. You know, Bruce Wayne just bought her some clothing to wear for this. This undercover thing, and they're like at a cocktail party or something. So she's in a gown and high heels, and she starts complaining about the heels. And he said, "You go into battle in high-heeled boots." And she said, "Yes, boots that fit properly."
Nah.
Basically, there's nothing. She's basically saying there's nothing wrong with me fighting in high heels, providing they fit me exactly the way they need to.
I have super agility. The heels on my boots don't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, and again, I'm really not mansplaining here. Maybe I could pop in, but I have talked to several women where I disparage the high heel, you know, as the footwear of the slaver to put on the slave. And they're like, I'm really uncomfortable in flats, you know. So some people, they've really embraced that part of the patriarchal culture.
Oh.
And who the fuck am I to tell you what shoes to wear?
Oh,
you know, I'll ask nicely.
My daughter at six wanted a pair of high-heeled shoes. So
the bottom is a cute shoe, a cute...
And we lost... Oh, you know what? She's back.
Cute shoe is a cute shoe.
Yes.
Be able to walk around in it. Do what you want to do, you know?
Backwards and in heels if you're Ginger Rogers.
That's right.
Hey,
we don't
Holly.
Say
Holly?
That about guys. It's not an issue.
It's sort of. Can you do me a favor? Can you hang up and call back? You're getting all chunky. It's all weird. That would help me out. Thank you. So as Holly goes, let's get this one really quick. Beauty and the Beast. The gay character controversy. Has basically set new records for advance ticket sales. So,
well, I think that's great. I think, well, first of all, I did not realize that my new favorite guy from Legion is playing the Beast. I think that's awesome. And did we
keep
lose
talking.
Everybody?
Just keep talking. We're working on it.
Okay. And I didn't realize he was the Beast, and I think that's great. And of course, you know, we all love Hermione there.
Wait, which guy is he?
He's David Haller. He's the main guy. Also, the guy who played David Haller was the poor picked on husband in Downton Abbey. I found that one out too.
You know, I quit watching that after season one. Mm-hmm. No, season two. I don't know why. I really enjoyed it up till season two, and then I had to wait for season three, and at no point did I ever go, oh, I should get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I didn't recognize it, but, oh my God, Legion. Holy shit.
Well, he had a very different haircut, and I did not recognize him. Plus, David Haller has a very distinct American accent, rather than in, you know, Downton Abbey, where he was a Brit and a half, so.
Yeah. So anyway, I have no desire to see this movie. None at all. And I can hear you. Yeah, it is pretty screwy, isn't it, Holly? Shit. I don't know what to do. Actually, you know what? Let's shut off the video between you and us and see if that helps. All right. Can you hear us, Holly?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. That's way better.
That's better. Sometimes the video feed throws us off.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is up a little too much bandwidth.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, look, I'm not going to go see it, even though I kind of want to.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I kind of want to is because, and if you listen to the Left Show last week, we did cover this a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Part of, I think, being a feminist means that you can pretty much be yourself and not have to live by the constricting standards of how people tell you how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she does the little thing with the weird rope vest, and women start being mean to her, it doesn't seem to work well for anybody.
Yeah.
And therefore, all that picture does is work for old perverts like me. So way to go, and hand more power to the patriarchy.
Yep.
Good job, ladies.
Well done.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll tell you what. It's Josh Gad is the reason I don't want to see this movie. And not because he's playing a gay guy, but because he's playing Josh Gad again. And I am of I have posited that he did that character in Book of Mormon. That's what got him famous. And now that's all people will let him do.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me sad because I think there's an actor in there. But everything he's all...
Yeah.
Because he was good as the snowman.
Oh, he was...
I liked him as Olaf.
He was Olaf?
Yeah.
Oh, he was great as Olaf.
Pretty much. Yeah. The Matrix is getting a reboot.
What the hell?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Why?
My buddy Aaron said, shouldn't they just redo the second and third movies?
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Because somewhere along the way, Keanu Reeves remembered how to act again.
Well, what's interesting, I mean, if you look, and I've argued this about The Matrix for a long time, if you watch, when I went to see Matrix 2, the second one, we rewatched the first one. Or no, it was Matrix 3. We rewatched the second one. And if you do that from 2 to 3, they're one movie. It's like they don't take a breath. Our problem is that after Matrix 2, we had a year to wait before they put out the movie, and we over-speculated where they were going to go with this world. And, of course, once you got to Matrix 3 and find out that, oh, they're not taking a break, they had no time to do any of the things we speculated on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
5 minutes earlier. Wait, what?
What?
Where did David Lynch get his hands on this goddamn property?
So, yes, I would love to have them remake it in a way that it has a much wider-reaching piece, but honestly, it's an interesting world. Give me something else from that world. And, you know.
It's a world about how shitty humans are.
Yes. And that we're a terrible energy source, but the robots use it anyway.
Well, Michael B. Jordan might be the Keanu in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, that was the thing. It's, you go to the Fantastic Four movie, I liked everybody in it. And the only thing I did not like was, mm-hmm. honestly, well, the two things, they're both attached, was the Doom storyline and the Doom costume.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Seriously. Well, anyway, so Michael B. Jordan. I don't know.
Like I said, you could easily make this an earlier story, like Michael B. Jordan, instead of playing, you know, being the lead, he could be Morpheus when Morpheus was younger. And have him go through the same kind of stuff that Neo went through. That would be an interesting movie to me. And it would put me back into the Matrix verse. You could do, you know, a whole lot of other stories. You don't need to reboot it.
Did you guys see the Animatrix?
Yes. I was quite
fond of the Animatrix shows us that the entire story of the Matrix is entirely our fault. And everything about the movies is absolutely pointless.
Yes.
Because at every stage in that war, at every stage, the machines were begging us for peace. Mm-hmm. At every stage. And the way that Neo finally saves all humanity is he walks up to an alien, or to a machine and says, "Hey, do you want to have peace?" And the machines say, "Good God, finally!"
Well,
we have done everything to try to stop from killing you guys.
You're our batteries. We love you, said Housewife Robot.
Yes.
Ben Affleck just got out of rehab. Starting to see why maybe he's not directing.
Mm-hmm.
The sissiest Southie of all time, because he's admitted he has a drinking problem. Say hello to your mother for me.
No, I won't.
No.
No. My mom's not going with any rehab, boy. again, it's Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's out. Good job, buddy. Seriously, I tease a bit, but, you know.
No, it's hard.
I remember Bob's heroin problem.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
And Fitz's PCP.
Woo. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, seriously, all kidding aside, that was me making fun of Southie more than Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you didn't use that as an excuse for banging your babysitter, buddy, because seriously, you know, then okay, I'm sorry. And I hope that it wasn't being Batman that drove you to that, because if anybody should have been driven into rehab for drinking too much because of Batman, it's George Clooney.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think so. I've heard a lot of people speculating that that's probably why him and Garner broke up. So I think it's been going on a while.
I think it was him banging the babysitter, the nanny.
Pretty sure it was him banging the nanny.
I bet you it's an entire ball of self-destruction. You know what I mean? Like a whole knotted, you know, like they're all connected is what I'm saying.
Not only
lots of bad choices.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So here's the thing. Weird things are afoot in states that give a shit. This is me going to make fun of Utah for 2 minutes before we go to break. But I have begged, I have screamed, I have ranted, I have chest pounded, I have asked nicely, which I never do, the state of Utah to quit fucking around and start putting the tax credit packages back together to bring entertainment back to Utah.
Yeah, we used to be called Hollywood East.
Right. And and when the last couple of shows we had was an Angel Hitchhiker, the spinoff from Angel Hitchhiker, and that weird Dawson's Creek ripoff.
Yes.
I can't remember what that was called. Evergreen.
Yes.
Evergreen. That was here.
Yes.
I once had to put up an espresso machine station for them because it was such a low budget thing. They didn't have one. They had to rent one for a day, and I made lattes for people. I also did that for the spinoff Angel movie with the weird crazy Irish lady.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that was called. Bob?
Touched by an Angel.
That's the one.
Touched by an Angel.
And and one, no, she didn't. Two, she likes brown sugar in her lattes, which actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah, it does taste nice.
But you know what I don't carry around with
brown
me on
sugar?
My espresso cart? Brown sugar.
Molasses? So, no, I don't carry that with me.
Oh, do you have any Irish creamed honey? You bet. Fat. And so we had to send a production assistant over to the Smiths to get fucking brown sugar.
Wow.
Which, you know what? When you're the Irish Angel, apparently you could send people that make $8 an hour to buy a 79 cent bag of sweet confectionery.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Savannah has added 10% city incentive to Georgia's already considerable 20-30% transferable tax credits. Okay, California bumped theirs up. Other states in the nation are... You type really loud, Holly. That's amazing. You type almost as loud as I do. Here's the thing. What this makes is that it is getting to the point now where, especially in Georgia, it is cheaper to film in America than it is in Vancouver. Because Vancouver, as they've gotten more and more popular, have shrunk their tax thing.
Yeah.
In certain areas of the United States, except for those that you know have problems with people going potty where they want.
Well, and if you recall, Georgia has had many films and television series filmed there ever since Walking Dead,
including
started
Archer.
Filming though.
They're a big animation. They have a big, animation,
a big animation
thing there now.
Thing there. And one of the problems is that once they passed that idiot bathroom law. The Hollywood groups started pulling out. They're like, we're not going to film here if you guys are going to act that way. So now they're having to throw something back to say, hey, no, you really want to film here. We've got
Texas incentives. That wasn't Georgia. That was North Carolina.
It was also Georgia.
They did too?
Yeah.
Oh, I miss it.
Yeah. Well, and so this is one of the ways they're trying to pull them back in. I'm like, well, change your fucking law. That would help.
Do that.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you do have other states that are, you know, they're bumping up. They're doing it. And Utah could do that and maybe make up for some of the damage economically that they did for running off the outdoor retailers.
Yes.
But with their current behavior.
Oh, did they run out the outdoor retailers?
Yeah.
Utah
not,
did.
They're
yeah.
not coming back. They're going out to Colorado.
Oh, wow.
So.
That used to be a huge event. I worked the hotel business for a while.
Yeah. In fact, we were just talking about Dan Farr. He went to the legislature to basically try to get that money. He's like, well, if outdoor retailers are leaving.
Do you think maybe he'd start paying staff instead of working them with volunteers?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would
yeah.
be. But I just say that for the volunteers because they're... That show's not losing money.
No, and it is not. It is not. Now he wants to get the money that outdoor retailer money would be a difference between the celebrities he has been able to bring out and the celebrities he could bring out.
I could put him into play with San Diego.
He could bring out like Robert Downey Jr. and stuff. So it would really be a big deal if he could get that money. So which is why he wants to get it, obviously.
Well, sure. Yeah. Who doesn't? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the news.
All right. What are we doing now?
You're leaving.
I am.
And so I'm taking over the show.
Yes, you are.
It's our 250th.
I know.
And you got to go early.
And my wife pulled this on me. So yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, Jeff owns the show.
Woohoo! folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more... as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it. Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
So we did get an interview with Carter Reed from Zombie Nation, which we're going to play in a bit. But in the meantime...
I think it's vaporware.
It could be. But in the meantime, let's do a little television news, shall we?
Sweet.
Gang?
I would love to.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else could tell, but at this point in the show, we lost Holly because apparently Seattle has the worst fucking internet ever. And then John had to leave because his wife made him. So yeah. Happy 250th, everybody. which cracks me up. So first up on the docket for this particular news program, is Legion has already been reviewed or renewed for a second season.
Oh, that's awesome.
From Fox. Even though, to be honest, the ratings are kind of low. You know, the watcher's a little confused. It is a very smart show.
It is.
And you actually have to watch it. So that has, you know, put off a lot of watchers. But I love it. I mean, it is one of those that... Oh, autoplay. You're the devil. Now, somebody in sent me a link to a Chrome extension that kills the autoplay. But when I flip it on, it actually kills all videos I try and play. So I keep forgetting to turn it on for this. Regardless, we get that. Season 2. I'm delighted. And there were lady buttocks in this last episode I watched, and that surprised me.
Oh.
And honestly delighted me.
I can imagine. Those are two of your favorite things,
ladies and buttocks.
Well, I just meant the buttocks in general.
That's true. Yeah. They're up there. All right, now, this should have happened already, and I honestly haven't had time to check because I've been watching Iron Fist. And it's like being in the same room is a thing you want to see if it's there and not bothering to turn your head. But 20 fan favorite MST 3000 episodes have hit Netflix. These were voted on by the fans. And because season 11 of Mystery Science Theater 3000 debuts April 14th. That's almost here, which means I gotta get my taxes done before that, because Friday, April 14th, I am done for at least a day and a half, if not more. And but there are a lot on here. Puma Man, one of my favorites. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, one of my favorites.
Space Mutiny with Reb Brown and all the special effects from Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. Horrors of Spider Island, I Accuse My Parents, all of the wonderful, wonderful episodes of shitty movies. I have my fingers crossed.
They don't have my favorites. Invasion of the Neptune Men.
That was a good one. And again, you know, and to be honest, it's, I think, my favorite episode, as it were, was the movie. And we've discussed that in our lives, but never on the show, but that they had so much time to work on the movie that it was as near perfect of a model of MST3K as could possibly be. You know, the only thing it didn't have was a cameo, you know, from Joel. That would have been awesome. Yeah. But I'm excited. And I got my fingers crossed about Jonah Ray. I like him. I think he's kind of funny, you know, and he's smart. But then I made the mistake of watching his fake travel show. And I have regrets. Please don't fuck this up. I know Patton Oswalt's in it, and that makes me happy. And I know Felicia Day's in it, and that makes me happy. But I'm worried. I'm worried. I have worries. But I'm trying not to be me. Yeah. I'm trying not to be me. Because everybody's being me with Iron Fist, and Iron Fist turned out to be really good so far.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to the end yet. And remember, most of the stuff we love is ruined for us by the ending. With the exception of Highlander 2. There is a trailer.
Which is ruined by the beginning.
Right. And the middle. And the end. Zeist. Marvel's X-Men Resurrection. Because you got to stick an X in. This looks fun. And not only does it look fun, it looks like something that's going to drive Johnny up a fucking tree.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
remember Clockwork Orange, where they put him in the Lugvigo technique and held his eyes open and just put drops in them and made him watch it over and over and over again? Yeah. That's what we should do.
We should totally do that. Anyway, pop over to World's Greatest Podcast to watch that. Because otherwise it's just you listening to us watch it, and that's boring. But I had to throw it on there because Johnny hates the 90s, 80s and 90s X-Men.
What is it exactly? Let's tell the viewers what it actually is.
The X-Men were originally the second string characters from Lee and Kirby back in 63. They're currently not in print because they're trying to fight their license back from Fox. The last few years has seen the beloved mutants. I'm reading, by the way. Through the ringer, they got depowered, lost their school. Cyclops went fucking nuts. And eventually everybody had to go live in another dimension. Because of the Inhumans. Marvel is now planning to go back to basics in the X-Men universe, is relaunching the titles under the banner Resurrection. Among these new titles are X-Men Gold, featuring the retro 80s lineup with Old Man Logan, Storm, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Kitty Pryde, and Rachel Gray. And X-Men Blue, which features the original five members, or the least teenage versions of themselves, brought forward into present day, under the guidance of Magneto. There's also a new Generation X featuring Jubilee, Weapon X series featuring the deadliest mutant killers, as well as an ongoing series for Cable, Iceman, and Jean Grey. Both Old Man Logan and the all-new Wolverine are going to continue their current numbering under the Resurrection banner.
So these are straight-up comics, not a TV show.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. The only reason I threw this on there was I knew that the music would drive Johnny up a tree.
Ah, awesome.
Otherwise, yeah. So, and that's why it ended up here and not in the normal news. With that said, Riverdale has gone retro with an Archie Comics look. I don't understand it. And like I said, I kind of quit watching it, and now I'm going to have to go back and watch it. But last Thursday's Riverdale apparently began with a dream sequence that took the teen cast back in time. They donned their 50s era apparel for the event, and their ensembles are a direct nod to their character's classic look in Archie Comics, including Jughead, finally wearing the proper hat.
Yeah, my mother was like, why does he have an S on his shirt? And I'm like, I don't know.
Hope, Mom. iZombie Season 3.
That was really good.
Yeah, I'm moving. iZombie Season 3 has a new promo. We got a release date for Season 7 of the Game of Thrones, which is not until fucking July. So there's a lot of stuff coming. And then this ties back actually to the earlier story that I was talking about on how a lot of different states are pulling their head out of their ass on tax credits to entertainment. Legion, Lucifer, The Affair, The OA, all relocating to California for this new tax credit. They're all leaving Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, what the hell? I don't know.
I thought The OA was a purely Canadian production.
Well, not anymore. They're all, Legion and Lucifer are already leaving Vancouver. The Affair and The OA are leaving New York. State of California has now attracted 11 television series from other states as part of its expanded tax credit program. We're wrapping up a two-year program, a two-year of program 2.0 on a high note with a record number of relocating TV series. California Film Commission Executive Amy Lemish said, tax credit program is working as intended to reaffirm California's status as the preferred choice for film and television. I once again point at the people of Utah, especially those that have elected the chuckleheads that are up there, to point at them and say there is a shitload of money in television and film production that spills out onto the local economies. A shitload. And
yeah.
And what is it? It follows right into your core belief of, and I quote, lower taxes. What the hell? Why is this one so hard? Why have I spent, what, almost 12 years now, at least part-time advocating for this and just keep being told no? You know, you just ran off the outdoor retailers, guys. There's a shitload of money, and they're all going to California, and you know how much you hate California. You know it. So, anyway, Law and Order True Crime is going to California. Messiah is. Sharp Objects. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Snowfall. Behind Enemy Lines. Whatever. SWAT. It's all going to California. All of it.
Wow. No, I'm seriously. They got a... Yeah. I remember when they did The Stand here, when we did... I was in a movie called DMZ that was shot here. Man, they just used to shoot so much stuff here.
I remember DMZ. Did that ever come out?
No.
Because that's Johnny with long hair, but tucked into his hat, as I recall.
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
All right, well, that's it for television news. Please listen to this bumper that I will play, and then we will go into the stack.
This portion of the world's greatest comic book podcast is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store in the Valley Fair Mall in Salt Lake City, Utah is your airlock to Epic. Anything you need, from role-playing, comic books, card games, Magic the Gathering, the original Pokemon before the telephone, Funko Pops, comic books, like you wouldn't believe, both vintage and all of your newest releases. They have a wonderful staff, gorgeous, by the way. Every last one of them, and they all smell nice.
Even Edgar.
Especially Edgar. Anyway, the Nerd Store in the Valley Fair Mall, West Valley, Utah, or you can find them online at nerdstoreutah.com. Nerd Store, your airlock to Epic.
Would you like to go first, or would you like to go last? I mean, second.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I didn't read anything.
It's been a busy week.
Yeah, I was prepping for Comic-Con.
With that said, I did pick up Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman. It is glorious and wonderful. It is unlike anything of his I've ever read before, to be completely honest. It is
So what's the premise?
It's him retelling Norse myths.
Oh, just straight up? Oh, yeah. Awesome.
It is, and it's just great. I don't know. You know me. You know, I'm an Asgard fan. I read stuff way outside of the comics on it. And this was one of the first time that the fables have been readable. And so he's taken a bunch of, I guess, different versions that he's read through, and he's made them into stories that are not only coherent, they're easier to read. Because
right. If
you don't know Norse mythology, it is fucked up and weird. It's very weird.
It is.
Very, very weird. So this really does a great job of breaking it down, and I really enjoyed the read. It's all stuff that I knew. You know, it felt like I was reading an old friend more than reading something new. But if you haven't picked it up yet, do that, and then go read American Gods, because that'll explain a lot of what goes on in that book. Other than that, I read, because if I don't mention
how big is it? What is it? Is it like a trade, or is it a short series? What is it? What's its format?
I got it on the Kindle.
Oh, you got it.
So it's a book. It's just words. It's
Comic. It's just like narrative. Okay.
Yeah. What else? Oh, Wonder Woman. No. Batwoman. Ha. Batwoman number one. Johnny loved it, I'm supposed to say, and handed it off to me, and I read it on Friday, and I liked it. The thing that I didn't much care for that took me away from loving it as much as he did is that they were, it is cleaning up from a storyline I really hated.
Which storyline?
The monster
oh,
stuff.
Was it? Yeah.
And I didn't much care for it. I really didn't like it. I didn't hate it as much as I hated the whole Bane Island bullshit that just happened. But, mm-hmm. you know, it was one that was just like, this sucked. You know, at least it wasn't a talking gorilla. And so they mentioned that several times, and she's basically doing what she does. However, I do like this character. I do like the way that they are writing both her and Alfred's daughter. You know?
Oh, good.
And I don't want to spoil anything in case you pick it up, and you should pick it up because I have a feeling this is going somewhere good.
I own it. It's downloaded. I just haven't gotten to it.
The last two pages, forgive them. Uh-huh. Just forgive them. Okay?
Okay.
Trust me. It is the least Bat thing you would ever see a Bat member, Bat family do. It's dumb in capital letters as big as the Hollywood sign. That is not how you bat. You don't bat like that. And when you see it, you'll see what I mean. But I think they did it for a reason, and the reason's stupid. But if you have to not take your first issue into three issues and you get squished down, I can see how they ended up moving that way. But otherwise, that's not a bad thing. Don't do that. It was dumb. That was.
So you think they just had to do it for space reasons?
They could have. Otherwise, the only way you would set that up to where it worked would take another half an issue. And this way you took what should have been a good half an issue of A moving to Z, you dump it down to two big panels, you know, and mm-hmm. then something stupid happens. And then the very last ending, well put together, well played, got a nice flair for the dramatic, and made me want to read the next one, even with the previous page and a half really offending the shit out of me as far as bat lore goes. So that was how good it was. And like I said, I like it. Those were my two things. But everybody cuts for brevity. And you know, that's the thing that drives me nuts. You know, there are so many comic storylines that are six issues that should be 12 or 24, you know, and they cram too much in. There's no doubt in my mind that the multiverse that Grant Morrison did. I mean, you heard my complaint for the first two issues was it was like previously on the shit you've never seen or heard before. Because they were taking entire storylines and squashing two to a page. And it was like reading a fucking clip show. And I hated it. But I could see the architecture he'd put under it. And I liked that. And I wanted that to be explored properly. But the fact that he said that he had spent more than a decade working on this project, and that's what I got, I couldn't make it past the second issue. It was terrible. And maybe the issues, you know, 3, 4, 5, and 6 were perfect. But no, I doubt that they were, because I have never heard anybody, even huge Grant Morrison fans, go, yep, that was it. That was the greatest thing he's ever written. Now,
brevity is hard. Howard Taylor was on a panel with Jerry Purnell on tighter, crunchier writing, and they're all introducing themselves, and they all go through, and they're giving all of their bona fides. And Howard Taylor was the last person to introduce himself. And his introduction was, every story I tell, I have to fit into 4 tiny panels of art each day. And Jerry Purnell, you know, the famous sci-fi author, screams at him, Jesus, boy, you're the only one qualified to be here. I get paid by the word.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. All right. If you didn't read and I only read a book, I believe that qualifies for this being Tuesday, tomorrow being Wednesday, which is New Comic Book Day. So on this, your New Comics Eve, let's take a peek and see what we should be buying tomorrow. I will be buying mine at the Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall. You're welcome,
Pick
Charles.
Pick of the week, it's not Wick of the Peak, it's the other one. Yeah!
You only say hello, so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
Do you want to go first or second last?
Sure, I can go.
Awesome.
I am looking forward to Iron Man because I like Riri. How are we pronouncing her name? Riri.
Riri. Right.
I love her. She's my spirit animal.
Here's the thing. Johnny leaves the issues, right? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, when I am underemployed, I work three times more than I normally do because I'm doing everything I can to try and make money. And so I don't get time to read. And that's one of the ones I've had to just set aside because I just don't have time. And I want to read it. And what I'm hoping is that when it gets 12 or so in, if it's not already, Johnny can bring them over and I can read them then. But that has been my plan for several things, including a few of the Spider-Man storylines. And I forget to ask. So... Which is rough, man, because I want to read this stuff, and I keep telling myself that there will come a point where I have a few hours, and they just keep not showing up.
Look, I think it's safe for me to say this, because I don't think any Republicans listen to this podcast.
No, certainly not this far in.
Right. But I'm really starting to really love girl stories. I watched Moana this week for the first time.
Yeah, you were saying that.
I loved it so much. I loved it so much. And I'm loving the Invincible Iron Man. I'm just really loving it.
You know,
I want more.
It comes down to this. A few years ago, without knowing I had...
I just don't want to take away my, you know, membership of the Republican Party.
No, they get it. It's, well, okay, that's the other show. So, I went through a dramatic shift from what I was listening to listening to female musicians, female singers, mm-hmm. female songwriters. And that transition was, again, I had a built-in prejudice I didn't know I had until I noticed that I wasn't doing it anymore. Don't get me wrong. Nobody of any gender or species will ever be as good a guitar player as David Gilmour. Will not happen. But Tristan Prettyman... is one that's kind of new for me, and I really listen to her. The Ingrid Michaelson, a lot of these, the Lucius. If you haven't listened to Lucius, you really should. If you've watched Roadies, you came across them.
I have it queued up, but I haven't yet.
Oh, you gotta watch that show, man! It is so good. But I really do. Brandi Carlile, I like it. I like it, and I don't know if it means I've grown as a person, or actually, I think it does.
Well, I think a lot of it is novelty. You know what I mean? The Moana ended in a way that is different from all the other shows that I'm used to seeing. You know what I mean? So it's just it just has more opportunity to surprise me in interesting ways because the perspective's a little different. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
well, I still got to watch that, but I've got the rest of Iron Fist and Expanse to watch first, so don't spoil that.
Oh, you definitely have to watch the rest of Expanse. I'm really enjoying the Expanse right now, especially because in the books, the Expanse, there's a 1 year break between the two books, and because of the way the episodes broke down the series, since there wasn't a season break between the two books, they couldn't do that. So 60%, 70% of the stuff in any given episode is brand new to me.
Nice.
And it's really interesting stuff, and I'll be like, oh, where are they going with this? So,
of Game of Thrones for me right now. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, nobody knows what the fuck is going on because we've never written it. So, all right, my picks of the week. Tried and True, Hellblazer 8. It's been
awesome.
Wonderful so far. I see no reason to stop being excited when that comes out. However, there is what I believe a potential train wreck in the offing, and I am going to buy it, and that is Iron Fist number 1.
Ah.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the Marvel movie universe and the Marvel television universe have their shit together. And then along from behind comes the comic book department, you know, like, oh, that, I suppose we should put an Iron Fist title out, seeing as how that's about to be the most popular goddamn thing on the planet. And they're starting it with everything's fucked up. It's all terrible. Kunlun is in ruins. The chi fueling Danny's fists is wavering. Is there a future for Iron Fist? Danny Rand pushes himself to the breaking point, finding fights to prove his worth. But a bigger fight than the one he can handle may have already found him. Oh my God. Really? Yeah, I'm buying it, but I'm buying it because I want to prove to myself that this is going to be just as shitty as I think it's going to be.
You're going to hate read it.
Look, it's you get Doctor Strange comes out. What do? They give it the worst. It's like you don't even have a good Doctor Strange title going. It's the Doctor Stranges, you know, or the Sorcerer's Supremes. What? Seriously, one of the reasons I think that comic books and comic book movies don't go hand in hand is because the actual comic book part of these companies refuses to think about it, to plan for it, to do anything. You can't just slap together a movie version of it and call that working your marketing. It drives me nuts. You know, it's put fucking Bendis on an Iron Fist for three issues, you know. Know that it's coming. The scripts were approved a year and a half ago. And in that year and a half, we've had three issues of the self-funded Salt City Strangers. So it's not like you can't do this, Marvel. You know, you have a basement full of kidnapped Guatemalans writing for you anyway most of the time. Get your shit together. You know, I mean, it's your behavior as a comic book company is pretty much as bad as DC's behavior as a movie making company.
Well, the Marvel movie company used the same method that Pixar uses. I think it might be Disney as a whole, but I don't think Disney instigated this. I think Marvel was already doing this and it just was a good corporate fit. Marvel brings everybody they can in to any movie, and they just grind on every element of it until they can make it as perfect as possible.
Right.
And they just do not give up. It's the same thing John Lasseter did with Pixar. When he took over Disney, he started doing it with all the Disney stuff. They just grind and grind and grind till they can't possibly make any aspect of it any better. The comics, it's one guy in a room, and if he's, you know, drinking too much coffee and talking to the gnome in the corner, that's the comic you get. You know what I mean?
Well, that, and when they do the writer summits to kind of figure this shit out, they don't invite everybody. They invite their little internal club.
Yeah.
And while a lot of those guys are really talented, there are other voices, as we saw, you know, with Kelly Sue DeConnick. You know, she kept not being invited to the writers' panels. She is, without a doubt, hands down, one of the most talented comic book writers. Stop. Period.
Right.
Doesn't matter. And she was writing Marvel titles, and she doesn't get a go? I mean, don't get me wrong. I would take Matt Fraction to a party anytime. But if it's about writing, I want him and Kelly Sue in the room. And for the love of Christ, somebody, you know, sneak Chip Zdarsky in a handbag.
Right.
Now, that, sir, we have reached the end. So
awesome.
Here we say adieu and happy trails to those that have listened for free. And then we're going to break off and you and I are going to do the rest of the Patreon stuff.
Okay. Episode 250 ends not with a bang, but with a whimper.
The two most physically fucked up members of this team sitting here trying to talk without getting lockjaw. I'm with you, brother. All right.
Try not to cough our brains out.
You bet. For Asgard.
I'm helping.
Yes, you are.